ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. My guest today is William Arenhammer, a digital professional who's delivered innovative and engaging solutions to create product experiences for web, mobile, and digital technology. As such, William is the co-founder of District One, a new kind of network that triggers unique adventures based on a user's location and turns the world into a playing field that uses techniques and technologies of a video game. William, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Let's begin with a little bit of background on your career. Can you give me the Cliff Notes version of how you co-founded District One?
Well, I had helped founding it with a couple of partners, and it really came out of, we wanted to do a tech demo based on some technology that we had been working with for a client and didn't want to actually do exactly what we had done for the client in order to demonstrate it for obvious reasons, and had come up with this idea for a bar crawl throughout Lower Manhattan. And the timing had worked out really well because this was actually about maybe 6 months after Hurricane Sandy, and a lot of our favorite haunts downtown had been hurt by that. You know, it was an opportunity to help, you know, get them back on their feet. And there was just this immense interest that we got from it. We felt that, gee, we're really onto something here. And some of the interests that had come out of it were maybe people that were from people who were in the beverage industry, but also people who were not necessarily interested in associating with the beverage industry. So, you know, for instance, the local churches and the local communities. So from that, we really moved it to a platform that was in some ways a lot more generic in how it could be approached. And that was District One. You know, I think that's kind of the short answer. I mean, the long answer is, you know, we had been building mobile applications for a lot of brands and really had always wanted to do our own platform. And so that's where things had been moving, that, you know, brands were really looking not necessarily to build apps specifically, but to be associated with the platform. And we really took all of that learning and knowledge that we had developed over those years developing for our clients and came up with this platform that would allow them to easily create these location-based experiences.
So just to back up, can we, just so that if people aren't, you know, aren't familiar with District One, the platform itself, you deploy technology across this neighborhood, is that right? And then that allows you to create these experiences. Can you just give a little bit of how it works and then, you know, sort of technically how it works and then experientially how it works?
Well, the whole platform is ever evolving, but you know, the first iteration of it was that we had installed these devices in around 150 bars and around 125 outdoor spots, all contracted, all legal. And we, you know, had already done some of these bar crawls and had gamified that experience. And so what happens is, because you're using these devices, and in some places downtown where the locations are very close together, you know, this far exceeded what we could have done with geofencing. You know, we can tell whether you're 3 inches away or 200 feet away, you know, and that was very important. Like in an area, which is one of our favorites called Stone Street, where basically every building is a bar. We wanted to be able to determine where you were, whether you were on the second floor. And so, you know, we wound up installing these devices. We worked with and are working with the Downtown Alliance, where we have a bunch of outdoor locations. And, you know, so once you're, you know, outside of the venues, you can, you know, also be getting experiences outdoors. And from that, we wound up creating the Alexander Hamilton tour. The basis of that is that it's a hip hop tour that uses this poetry to gamify and guide the experience. I feel like I might have gotten a little off track with answering your question there. Is that
what I was curious about? Is I knew that there were devices, and I knew you had put them in the bars, and I knew that there were some put outside. And I guess sort of question one is, in order for this, like if I were in another city and I thought, golly, I would like to do this and bring this tech to my city, I'd like to bring it to Boston, would I need to install these devices, or is it device independent?
Right. So ideas evolve. And there's a lot of benefits to using these devices. For one, it makes it harder to spoof. It makes it harder to fake. It also makes it harder for someone else to come in, a competitor, and just really do the same thing, and they can be in another part of the world and never even be in that area. So, we like the idea of having these devices, but we also use geofencing. We also can use other devices in the area and really cross-reference all those data points to get a better sense as to, where you are. And now with newer technologies that include, visual clues, we can actually, through the lens of your phone, know, what street you're on, because there's a scene description that we have stored for that area, and it can recognize that you're, on the corner of Wall or Broadway, or perhaps, somewhere else in the world. So really, that is our next goal, which is to, just take this out from being just local and being able to do this anywhere. We actually have a client in Minneapolis that we're working with now. They're an advertising agency, and we're able to take these experiences and really place them anywhere just by placing the pin on the map. So it's not required to use the beacons, but it may be, for lack of better, a tool that you could use if you felt you needed that kind of granularity.
Right. And how about data security? Because what with everything with Facebook and Cambridge Analytica, how does that work? Do people have to, if I go to District 1, do I download an app? Am I providing information about myself? Or is it, how does that work?
So we really like the way Apple is approaching security. It's abstracted. It's all on your device. The only thing that you're actually letting anybody, into are things that you've agreed that these are things that you would like people to know. And that's how we're approaching it. We're using their iTunes accounts as a way to log people in. So you don't even need to sign up or register. Just the fact that you've, downloaded the app, we know that you have an iTunes account. On Android, we'll be able to do the same thing through, JavaScript and access it through a web portal, and you would need to log in. But at least on iOS, you don't even need to log in. And on Android, you'd need to log in using an iTunes account, but most people have them even on Android. So we're not really anticipating that being a problem, and hoping that people like the idea that they're maybe not being required to log in using Facebook or...
Yeah, I think so. I'm curious, just the sort of revenue model, is this something which the brands... I mean, obviously, when you had a pub crawl, I can see clearly the brands would help pay for it, either the pubs themselves or these establishments, or else the various beverage companies. But when you're doing something where it's almost like a historic tour, the Hamilton tour, how do you fund something like that? Because it takes a certain amount. I mean, it's very creative. You've got to develop the creative. You've got to execute it so that it's going to have your virtual reality piece. Is that something that I, as a tourist, have to contribute towards, or it's paid for?
It's totally free. Really, people don't seem to want to pay for anything anymore. And so we, from the beginning, have always envisioned this as a platform for advertisers. So we make creating these adventures super easy and very cost effective. Having built applications from scratch for brands, this platform really accelerates that product. And so it is, a way for these brands to get, their message out there. And what we're proposing, and you know, what we're doing right now with the agencies that we're working with, is that these experiences are integrated in a way that makes sense and it's relevant. So to give you an example, you know, we have on the drawing boards a game called Spy versus Spy. So it's not yet out there, but the idea is that you're a spy and you are meeting with other spies and collecting intelligence and installing viruses on their phones, and they have to crack codes. And, you know, one example of perhaps, you know, a branded experience on that would be you can use a virtual reality Heineken bottle that, you know, or it could be actually a physical Heineken bottle. And on that Heineken bottle, the logo can change to pass a message to someone else. So that logo can change from saying the words Heineken to perhaps a message as to where to go to get your next clue.
That's so cool. Just saying. I just think it's amazingly cool. So obviously there is a tech component, which is important, difficult, always needs to be worked on. But just as important, because almost that's the sort of table stakes, you've got to have that right, is the creative that people are experiencing. So how are you doing that? Is that also in your background?
Right now, the experiences that we have available are really to highlight and demonstrate the platform. And we do have a lot of creative chops on the team, you know, in traditional advertising and pre and post production, as well as animation and 3D animation. But we're not looking at it as that this is something that we're going to provide all these experiences. It would be impossible. What we're looking at is that this is a platform to allow creatives and artists to easily create their own experiences. And that's what really excites us. The way to create these experiences, it's primarily done in HTML and CSS and JavaScript. So we're tying that into all the sensors on the device. That idea behind it is to make these things really easy to create. And we're at this juncture really using our abilities to hold people's hands to get them mm-hmm. doing this. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll, you know, experiment with, because I have, you know, this spy versus spy thing that, you know, I'm excited about, and to really sort of help push forward the initiative by leading by example. But I don't see, you know, this is a really ambitious project. And in order for it to succeed, we have to get a lot of people on board who are also excited about doing this. And the idea is that we're here to help them.
Right. How many users in a typical month are going through the experiences? I mean, do you have it? Is there a volume issue? Is there a scalability issue? Or is that completely irrelevant?
Right now, I'm kind of viewing that as irrelevant. You know, we're still early with that. I mean, you know, we have under 10,000 users.
Okay.
So it's not something where we're out there trying to impress advertisers with our millions of users. As a platform, and those users are on, you know, District 1. As a platform, it's designed so that this can be inserted into any app. And I think that's an important piece of this, which is, so District 1 is really viewed as the showcase for this. And the vision for it going forward is that this is where you can do your discovery. You've already expressed an interest in these kinds of experiences. And it's a place that will let you know what kinds of experiences are out there. And they may not even necessarily involve our technology, although we'd like them to. But using our tech, you can easily embed this into another app, or we also offer a white label version. If you don't have an app, our frameworks allow us to easily build something for you that's branded. The feedback that we're getting is that's the sweet spot. That's what people want.
Right. They want to own, they want to have it branded to them.
And they don't want to necessarily promote our app, but you know, the idea is that as they promote their app, they will by default promote ours, and you know, we'll cross promote and build our user base that way.
Right. Well, and I suppose if you're using District 1 almost as a use case for people, that you can show all of the things that can be done and you know how it works, that will help those creatives understand the capabilities. And so when you push and develop, it's sort of like your live beta for everything. Now, AR is really in these days. What do you think is one of the key benefits that it brings, and what differentiates it from other experiences?
It's, you know, AR and mixed reality are basically the future of gaming. And, you know, it's going to, you know, shift the focus from playing on a console to being able to have these experiences out in the real world. And not just, you know, interact with virtual objects, but interact with real objects and real people. And I think there's a lot of different applications that we're looking at for it. But the ones that are the most exciting to me are the ones that are these emergent stories that we can tell where, you know, you're the star. And these kinds of things have been trialed on TV and on consoles, and, you know, they're interesting and they get some users, where, you know, you pick the scene, or you pick the, you know, they give you two choices and you pick one, and then the movie diverges depending upon what you decide.
Right.
I guess it, for me, it's a little bit emotional, a little bit instinctual, doing that out in the real world and giving people, you know, a lot more options, which we're now capable of doing with, you know, artificial intelligence and machine learning, is really going to make this explode. And it, you know, the way I'm thinking of some of the most creative experiences, they're not even necessarily games. They're more like television shows that you're taking part in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they could be obviously a tie into a television show. So, you know, you watch, you know, your favorite episode, and then something to do during the week that you're waiting for the next episode to happen, and maybe gather more clues and really engage their most loyal fan.
Right. It's really interesting. There are so many opportunities and ways it can be pushed out. You have not only the tech background, but the creative background as well. So you can envision and brainstorm how things can be applied.
Right. And I think that's the feedback that we're getting. People like for us to help them generate ideas. And if you're talking to an agency where, you know, they're very good at storytelling, they're very good at, you know, creating commercials and creating that kind of content, this really can be an extension of those skills. And, you know, we're here to help them, you know, move those skills into this new world.
Right. It's really interesting. So what is, if I'm downtown, how do I find District 1? Where do I go? How do I find you?
Right. Well, first download the app, and you could do that at home, or you could do that while you're downtown. Because, you know, we're using both geolocation and these devices, I skipped a step. You know, you look through the catalog of adventures and you pick one. And we felt that was important because people don't really want to be blasted with notifications on things that they're not interested in. So the idea is everything is opt-in. You know, if you're interested in doing the Hamilton tour, then you select that. There's a little bit of onboarding about it and where to maybe start. Some tours don't necessarily need to tell you where you start right off the bat. You know, that might be something that you learn with a clue. And when you know, arrive at a location, your phone, even if it's in your pocket, will ping you and let you know that you've arrived and can take you right into the adventure. So you don't really have to be pushing buttons or doing anything. And, you know, and you just, you know, follow what the instructions tell you to do, or listen to, you know, what the on-screen is telling you to do.
Great. What are you most excited about that's coming up?
I think the new technologies coming out of Apple and Google are really exciting. They're going to take our, you know, what we're doing and really sort of bring that to the next level. So what I'm referring to is the ability to place an object and have it persist, so that for us, if we're creating something, or for one of our partners, if they're creating something, we can leave objects around the city where that people can find and discover and collect, right? And it would be the same for everybody. Or perhaps if I got there first and collected it first, and then you got there second, it would already be gone. So there's this persistence, and then there's the multiplayer aspect to it, which means that, you know, we're both aware of the same types of content. We have multiplayer, but it's more the mechanics of setting up teams and that sort of thing versus the new tech here that's emerging, which is allowing you and I to both be looking through the lens of our device and see the same thing, but from a different perspective. And so that's really what's going to be groundbreaking.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I think it's a really cool tech.
Okay, thank you.
I think that it'll be really interesting to see how brands leverage it and how different entertainment companies really create experiences for their fans that help heighten their engagement with their content. So very exciting. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who've helped bring the program to life. First, my friend, Rob Naughton, the amazing voice artist who recorded our open, and of course, thanks to my production team over at Microfame Media, and a big thank you to our guest, William Aronhammer. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience, thank you. I'll be talking to you again next week, right here on Up Next.